Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Elizabeth Esty, always wonderful to talk to you. I wanted to ask you about what you expect as we go into a Republican-controlled Senate and a Republican-controlled House. Are you, I hate to use this word, but because you've always said it's, you know, you love your job, but are you depressed by the thoughts of what might happen?
Concerned by what might happen. But I have to tell you, you know, I've been working away for the last 2 years in House of Representatives that is Republican-controlled, and I found ways to get things done. And I think if you can imagine how you might get it done and persuasively make that case to other members of Congress, regardless of the party affiliation, you can find ways to make progress for the American people. So, you know, the partisan gridlock is obviously a challenge and it's frustrating, but I don't believe it can be an excuse. It cannot be an excuse. It should not be. And, you know, Alan, I got a bill signed by the president. I played a major hand in our water infrastructure bill that got passed in both houses and signed this past spring. I've gotten amendments through on veterans issues and on STEM education, science, technology, engineering, and math, and on manufacturing. So I've done all of that by working with Republicans and finding common cause. So I will continue to do that. And, you know, the House won't be that much different. It's pretty similar, I think, to where we've been for the last 2 years.
But does the fact that the Senate is going to be Republican now change the dynamics of your life in any way?
I guess I'll find that out if it changes the dynamics. I think the best case scenario is that it tells everyone we have to govern now. We have to govern.
In other words,
I think it will put pressure on the Republican Party to say, you know, you've got control of both chambers. What are you going to do, get passed, that can get signed?
They could go to
how are you going to govern? And it is a truth-telling moment at this point. Are you interested in saying no all the time? Are you interested in symbolic votes? Are you interested in actually making policy?
What would you think if they took an effort to impeach the president?
I would think it would be poorly advised and no basis to do so. So I certainly hope we don't see that.
But if you did see that, you know, what do you think that would do to the country?
I think it would be very bad. And I think there's again, no basis for it. And it would further, I think, discourage and frustrate the American people who are looking at a host of challenges that we are facing in this country. And the flip side of those challenges, though, Alan, is those are all opportunities. Those are opportunities for this country to do better. And each one of us, of the 435 in the House of Representatives and the 100 in the Senate, we were each elected to help make this country better for all of us. And that remains our charge for each and every one of us. And I cannot possibly imagine how an effort to derail things by a political effort to impeach the president with no basis would serve any of those interests.
Let me talk to you about jobs. I know this is something you're very concerned about. The news, the macro news, is very good. We keep hearing not only are there more jobs, not only are there more people employed here, but that we also have, we're beginning to show some upward movement in terms of people making a little extra money. Do the people in your district know that's happening?
I think people are no longer worried so much that they're going to lose their jobs. So I think the current job insecurity has subsided some. But here's where the real challenge and opportunity is it's looking down the road. Is what confidence do we have that there are going to be jobs in 5 and 10 years? What confidence do we have that a 10-year-old today is going to be able to have a good-paying job that can feed a family? And that's where I'm focusing my efforts, not on the short term, but on this longer term, the need to move this country forward. And that's about workforce development. That's about making sure we have good education for each and every child, preschool on up, making sure we have childcare that's affordable, and that we have quality preschool for all children, and that we have excellent schools for every one of our children, and that we do a better job of matching skill sets with the jobs available. I've done a lot of work with the community colleges and the technical high schools in my district, and going to continue to do even more work with bringing in the business community for all of us to sit around a table and talk about what are these skills our kids need to have and how can we help them acquire those skills so we can grow the jobs right here in Central and Northwest Connecticut.
Now, when you prioritize and say, okay, so what are the things my constituents care the most about? Some might be seeing this discussion about jobs as boring, but does it rise to the top?
Yes, jobs rises to the top always. It's what I hear from people all the time, and it's what we care about. We care about the future. We care about the future for our children. So we care about paying our bills today, quite obviously, but we are an optimistic, future-thinking country, and that's where I think we need to be getting together better and thinking about what that's going to mean.
So what's the difference?
For us in a global economy. You know, we're competing against people all around the world, but you know what? The American worker is the most productive worker in the world, and that's why we're seeing the jobs coming back. That's why we're seeing jobs coming back from China and people reinvesting in the United States. And so I'm excited about that and want to figure out what we can do to improve that.
So what's the difference between, you know, your approach as a Democrat from Northwest Connecticut and the Republican approach on jobs? What do you see as the fault line?
I think some of the fault line has been a mantra on the Republican side that the key is continuing to cut taxes, cut taxes, cut taxes, cut taxes in every case, and that solves everything. As opposed to, say, you know, we need to be looking at what are our positive investments. And I'll use the example of, say, transportation and infrastructure, where we've been having difficulty getting that done. Well, this is common sense. You know, it's common sense. We've got to not just fix potholes, which we do need to do. But we need to make sure that our bridges are going to be standing for decades. We need to make sure that our highways are functioning well. We need to be investing in rail in the Northeast so we can move people around. And those are long-term investments. And so I think a short-term focus on spending today has obscured what used to be and needs to be again a long-term consensus on the investments that build the value in this country, that invest in our people and invest in the resources that pay dividends long term. So I don't know if you've watched any of the Roosevelt program, which I
every single
hate,
one of them.
Finish watching the rest of them, but I've saw bits and pieces throughout the fall, and I think we do need to return to the big thinking future of when politics played an important role in leading this country. Mm-hmm. And that's where there's an opportunity. And I think there is an opportunity with the new Congress to make that case. Let's find the places we can work together. And I think transportation and infrastructure is one. I think research and development is one. I think manufacturing absolutely is one. And I've had some success so far on those and looking forward to, I hope, more over the next couple of years.
Well, keep your eye, Elizabeth Esty, on the new budget and the new budget bill for us. I'd love to talk to you about it at some point and see some of the things that I consider kind of reprehensible in them. I wish I had more time to talk to you, but I got to say, you're a terrific guest, and you don't avoid the tough questions, and I so love talking to you. So thanks again.
Well, it's always great to talk to you, and again, I want to thank folks for giving me the opportunity to continue to represent Central and Northwest Connecticut. It's a real honor, and I appreciate that very much.